Hi, and welcome to Health Coach Donna. Today I have a guest, Sheila Sorensen, otherwise known as the Grateful Goddess. She is a speaker, an author, life coach, and business mentor. Her passion is to guide women in living their most authentic, rewarding, and joyful life. And she conducts vision board workshops at the renowned Canyon Ranch Resort and Spa in Tucson, Arizona, as a springboard to that mission. Sheila, welcome today.
Thanks, Donna. It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Sure. So what we're going to talk about today is sleep and the importance of sleep. So I'd love for you to tell me a little bit about yourself and your business, and why is sleep such an important subject for you?
Yes. Well, as you said, I'm known as the Grateful Goddess, and it's because that's the name of my business. And really, in terms of helping people live that really joyful life, I had to define what I consider joyful living. And I see it as having a balanced life. So it's having optimal health and financial well-being, peace of mind, living in a state of gratitude, having really strong social connections, because especially as women, we need that sort of bonding, and then living out your life purpose. And I see so many people who feel that they have to just continue to live the life that they're living as opposed to living what really makes their heart sing. You know, they end up in jobs that don't fulfill them. And I think if everybody were living their life purpose, the planet would really be a happy place. So I talk on all these different topics, right? But the one that we're talking about today is more along the health lines. And when we talk about health, there's a lot of topics that I love to talk about. But sleep, I am so passionate about, probably because I had, you know, over 20 years of sleep deprivation myself, and I think we teach what we most need to learn. And so I'm happy to report that I have a very balanced life now, but it to me, it's like helping other people make sure that they don't live this life of sleep deprivation.
How did you end up with over 20 years of sleep deprivation?
Well, I had I was in the advertising world. So I was in advertising agencies, which is very fun, creative, but very high stress. And then on top of that, I had a very stressful marriage. And I think that was even worse. And when he didn't sleep well, that meant I didn't sleep well. So then that continues. So it wasn't until after I divorced and then went through some different things that I actually got that under control. But I remember back in my 20s, going, you know, I wanted to really prove myself in my work. So I would fly once a week to Las Vegas. I was living in Tucson. I would fly once a week to Las Vegas, and I would stay up all night preparing for the meeting, and then going straight to the airport, hopping a flight, working all day, getting back at 11, 12 o'clock at night, and then not even having the decency to take the morning off. I would be right back into work. And so I did that for a long period of time. And then it just sort of set me up for always thinking. And I think part of it is because we live in a society that really takes that as a badge of honor, that really tough work ethic where we don't need any sleep. We can get by without it. And it's just not true.
I agree. Yes. I was reading Arianna Huffington's Thrive recently, and she said it just what you said. It's a badge of honor to be working 24-hour shifts and not sleeping. And she's heard, you know, guys get into the elevator and say, well, I only got 4 hours sleep. And the other guy's like, well, I had 2.5. And it's kind of like bragging in some way when it's really the opposite.
Absolutely.
It's just the worst thing you can do for your body, and your brain doesn't function. So you're not a good employee when you're sleep deprived.
Exactly. But there is some research that shows that that when you get into that sleep deprived state, you actually think that you're thinking better than you are. And so that's why, I mean, they kind of, you kind of buy into the fact that I can survive on this little of sleep.
Yes. We have the perception And it's a misperception, actually, and the brain will do that. It'll deceive us in so many areas.
Right.
So tell me a little bit, like, why should we care so much about the sleep we get?
Oh, you know, to me, that the answer can go in so many different ways because there's so many different reasons. And the importance of sleep really impacts our physical health, if it's not your physical health, maybe it's your physical appearance that matters most to you, and it affects weight gain, it affects your good looks in your skin, it affects our brains, like you were saying, you don't think clearly, so you're not as productive as you think you are, and so our bodies actually need 4 different cycles of REM sleep in order to function properly. And when we're not getting that, we aren't giving our bodies, the central nervous system isn't giving it time to reboot and recalibrate. And so the body needs that in order for cellular repair. And so it's like when it comes to the mind, it's for a lot of memory loss can come from sleep deprivation because the mind gets through this processing and it will sort and file the day's information and put it in its little slot. So for one thing, it really needs that to sort of download the information so that you can remember it the next day. In fact, I just today was talking to a client and she went in for studies because she was very concerned about her memory loss.
Oh.
And she did 5 hours of study, and they said, you are brilliant. And it's just that you are stressed out, and you're working too much, and you're not sleeping enough. And so, again, very important when it comes to that. In terms of our physical health, it can affect the onset of diabetes, high blood pressure, memory loss, like I mentioned, and because the body really needs that time for cellular repair. So then I often tell people, you know, if it's not your physical health, because it will end up causing things that even lead even further into stroke and cancers and heart disease if we don't take good enough care of ourselves. And I say, okay, if that doesn't motivate you, then what about your looks? Do your looks motivate you? Because, again, the skin will start to sag if it doesn't have that time for cellular repair. That's why they call it beauty sleep. And I think mothers get a bad rap from daughters, and I would say I was probably one of them too, where they'll just be honest with you and say, oh, you look tired. And you're like, oh, thanks a lot, Mom, you know. But that's because they really, truly do care about you. And you do look tired. And you're kidding yourself that it's not affecting you. So I say, you know, if it's not the onset of different diseases, then perhaps it's the onset of a weight that's going to bother you, that's going to make you take action. Or maybe it's the fact that you're going to start looking older than you really are if you're not getting enough sleep. And to me, if those things still don't motivate you, if your own personal needs don't motivate you enough, then I think, well, how about the fact that sleep deprivation impacts other people due to when you are drowsy and driving, you are impacting other people's lives. I mean, there are the mothers against drunk drivers, but there isn't the mothers against drowsy drivers. And actually that impacts, there's 100,000 car accidents a year based on sleepiness. And there is over 1,500 deaths due to sleepy, because sleep deprivation acts very similar to the drowsiness in terms of drunk driving. Your reaction time is the same as being drunk. And I know that, again, I was absolutely at fault for this. I remember when I was driving to college, falling asleep behind the wheel, and I have so many angels that have saved me throughout my life. But, you know, And I woke up right before I was coming right onto the back end of the truck, and I swerved into the other lane. Thankfully, there was nobody in the other lane. Of course, now my adrenaline is just pumping, and my mother was with me, and I remember waking her up, and she's like, "What's wrong?" And nothing. You know, then I lied. It's like, "Nothing. Are you sleeping?" "No." You know, it was because now my heart is racing. I'm absolutely not. But even later on, in my 30s, I would fall asleep on just momentarily, all these momentarilies, on the way to work in the morning. That's
wow.
First thing in the morning, I would fall asleep driving to work.
Wow, that is so lucky that you did not get hurt in any way. You have a bunch of angels looking out for you, my dear.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I do, and there, you know, I mean, there's so many other disasters, huge ones that you might remember, like, you know, the nuclear accident, Three Mile Island, the massive Exxon Valdez oil spill, or the nuclear meltdown at Chernobyl. All of those were due to sleep deprivation. So, again, it's not just your own life that you're affecting. You could be affecting other people's lives.
Yeah, that's true. I had no idea that those accidents, I know they were due to human failure, but I didn't know they were due to sleep deprivation. And there are some recent train accidents as well for sleep deprivation. And I think that people would be motivated because a lot of people do want to lose weight, or they do want their skin to look better. And those are good motivators. Of course, you know, it comes with the vanity of they want to look better in general. But if you can help your sleep and then get the benefits of looking better in the process, that seems like a really good motivator.
Plus, you're not going to be crabby and snap at people. You're going to be a much nicer person.
Yeah, and you know, I remember when my son was a newborn, and I, you know, the first year I think I was walking around as a sleep deprived zombie mom, you know, waking up several times a night nursing and going to school during the day and trying to work a job. And I really just look at pictures of myself at that time, and I look just horrid, dark circles under my eyes, just had a hard time losing baby weight. And I looked at my husband at one point, and I'm like, sleep deprivation is a torture technique, right? Because I am at the edge of my ability.
You know, that's so true, because I've heard Dr. Ladd McNamara say before that we can actually survive longer without food than we can survive without sleep.
Oh, I did not know
that. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Because you would think that, you know, starvation would be a bigger problem than death due to lack of sleep, but that, according to him, that is the way it goes. So I do find that rather fascinating.
Yeah, definitely. And there is the, I do work with some patients who have sleep apnea, and that's very serious because they are not sleeping through the night. So even though they might feel like they're sleeping, they are getting not quality sleep because they're being constantly woken up. So,
and I've had clients who end up needing to overcome sugar addictions, and when they overcome sugar addictions, they sleep much better. And I'm thinking of this one man in particular who claimed he slept just fine. And of course he wasn't. And once he got over the sugar addiction, he was like, "Oh my God, I didn't realize how much I needed the sleep in order to process dreams, in order to problem solve." You know, I mean, that's really the benefit of dreams, is that it helps us problem solve what's going on in our day and provide answers. And I find that really helpful. But again, if you're not getting in deep enough sleep where you're getting into that dream state, it doesn't give you that opportunity to process like that.
No, it doesn't. And I think people just are so sleep deprived and they haven't had dreams in so many years, they just say, "Oh, I just don't dream," or "I don't remember my dreams." But they're not getting that quality sleep where they can have the awareness of the dreams.
Right, right.
And so what can people do about sleep? How would you suggest they get better sleep or more sleep? Or do you suggest, I always suggest a certain bedtime or something like that. What are your suggestions?
I think that's a great point, Donna, and I do the same thing. In fact, I I often relate it, as you were talking about being a mother. You know, you wouldn't get to the end of a busy day and then just throw your kid in bed. You know, it wouldn't work. You have a bedtime ritual, right? So, you know, after dinner, and then, you know, you give them sort of the warning, okay, you know, we need to start to wind down. So, you know, let's take a bath, and then let's lay in bed and read some stories. And then, you know, it's an hour process or more to give that wind down time and to give it sort of a set ritual. And so I say the same thing for other people. Give yourself a bedtime ritual. Treat yourself like a loving child, and go ahead and, you know, whether that includes a nice warm bath or something that appeals to you, but be sure to start to shut down the light stimulation, you know, and in fact, you know, again, you teach what you most need to learn. I'm going out of town tomorrow, so sure enough, I was up late on my computer last night. And I tell people all the time, don't stay up late on your computer, because basically that blue light on your eyes is stopping the melatonin production in your body. And if you're not getting that melatonin produced, you're going to have a hard time getting to sleep. So again, you know, get off the computer, quit watching television. I say, read a book with real paper so that you are getting into that wind down routine of relaxing yourself, or whether it's meditating or yoga or, you know, some sort of relaxation in the evening before you go to bed. I also say, you know, cool down the room as best you can. Make sure it's super, super dark. And for us, we have skylights, so it's a little bit harder to black out everything. So I have the eye mask, or I often use the eye pillow, and then it has a lovely lavender scent. And again, lavender is nice for calming down the body. I also have melatonin, so if I need to kind of help myself along with that. But also I say, take a really high quality nutritional supplement. And the evening dosage, for one thing, because your body needs it for that cellular repair at night, but for the other thing is that the calcium and magnesium in the evening dosage helps to calm down the body so that you can have a good production of melatonin. So anyway, those are some of the things in which I like to do. I think another sort of ritual that I like in terms of an evening ritual is more of a gratitude practice. Mm. You know, if you can think about your day and all the things that you're grateful for. So I like to do journaling at the end of my day and recall all the blessings, all the things I'm so grateful for throughout my day. And that's a nice way to, again, give myself a little bedtime ritual, calm down, get ready and prepare for a good night's slumber.
That sounds wonderful. I love that idea. And I saw some research recently that actually as we age, our melatonin production does decrease. So taking a melatonin supplement on a regular basis as we age can actually help balance out those hormones. Have you seen anything like that?
I have seen that, and I think it's a combination. I think it's that we don't produce as much as we age, but we also stop our own natural production of it through these things that I've just talked about. I mean, it used to be in the old days that once the sun went down, they started to prepare for a good night's sleep. So they slept the 9 hours at night and before the sun came back up. So, I mean, it was sort of a built-in natural thing to do. And now if you tell somebody you slept 9 hours, they're like aghast, like, wow, you know,
right.
What do I do? You know, and I do love 9 hours of sleep.
Nine hours is ideal for me. And I usually suggest people between 7 and 9. And that reminds me of, it makes me think of when you're camping or you're living out in the woods in some way, where you don't have all the light sources, you tend to fall asleep. pretty quickly or early in the evening. It's like the sun starts going down, you get the campfire, and before you know it, it's like 8 o'clock and everybody's off to bed.
Yeah. You know, and that reminds me of the other thing that I'm always telling people. Clear off your nightstand. Don't have electronics on your nightstand. And, you know, I can't believe that people sleep with their iPhones and iPads and all of those things right next to their head. You know, it's just not a good, healthy habit.
No.
And people always say, well, I need to know what time it is. It's like, I'm so grateful that I created a life in which I don't need to know what time it is.
Well,
I will wake up when I'm done sleeping, and then I will, you know, start my day at that time. And so, again, I think we, you know, as Dr. Myron Wentz says, you know, we're living in a culture in which we live too short and we die too long. And, and that whole premise of, you know, we're in this rat race, racing, and not taking good care of our health, because we need jobs that have quote-unquote health insurance, the health benefits, which aren't, you know, actually that lifestyle isn't actually a health benefit at all when we have our own innate health benefits. And when in reality we're working at this pace to retire, and then we end up sick and tired, and then through modern medicine we're kept alive for longer than, to me that's not living.
That is so true. That is so true. And I do have a lot of patients who are in their 20s who use their iPhone as an alarm or some sort of device. So usually those are a little bit more hardcore cases. So I just suggest they put it in airplane mode when they go to sleep, if they must use it for an alarm.
Yeah.
And
for me, I say that not only that, but you know, there have been times where I do need to wake up by an alarm. I set it, but I leave it outside the room.
Yeah.
You know, you still hear it. You still wake up and you have to get out of bed to answer and turn it off. And I know that that's what some people don't like, is they want to be able to hit the snooze.
Right.
But that's not really, give yourself that extra 15 minutes of sleep.
Yeah, exactly, because they found that the hitting the snooze actually makes you more tired and will make it harder for the next hour after you wake up to actually wake up. Isn't that fascinating? Because you will turn off the snooze and do it a couple of times, which will put you back into a deeper sleep, and then you've got to get out. So it just messes with your sleep cycle. So set your alarm when you need to get up, and then just get up.
And you also brought up another good point. You know, it messes with your sleep cycle. So, again, sometimes people end up with forcing it through a sleeping aid, which isn't working with your body's natural sleeping abilities, and that can really throw you off. Not to mention some of the horror stories that I've heard from people who have absolutely no idea what they do when they get up at night, not only getting up and going in eating everything in the fridge, but also getting up and sending emails that really should not be sent, getting up and driving, getting up and drinking, and getting up and doing things that, and getting in fights, and they have no recollection the next day of having been in a huge fight with their partner.
Oh, that is scary. That
is scary.
Really scary. Yeah, I know that some people do need sleep aids, but I have been able to help people get off sleep aids with the use of melatonin over time and conjunction with acupuncture. So if there are listeners out here who do feel they need sleep aids, there are other things and other reducing your stress through acupuncture or meditation or other forms in conjunction with using a high-quality melatonin could actually help you get off the sleep aids.
And, you know, you bring up a good point with high quality. And then people go, well, how do I know if I'm having a good high quality whatever you're having? You know, so if it's in the multivitamin category, you can look it up in a third-party comparative guide. It's called NutriSearch Comparative Guide to Nutritional Supplements. And that gives you an idea what the quality of the supplement is that you're taking. So I find that really helpful for people.
Okay, that is a good guide to know. Now, Sheila, if anybody, if they want to find out more about you or what you do or anything else along those lines, what is your website and where can people find you?
Yes, you can find me at www.thegratefulgoddess.com. And so it's thegratefulgoddess.com.
Great.
And I actually do have a very fun event coming up. I have a Get Everything You Ever Wanted Goddess Getaway Weekend, and it's going to be in Rocky Point, Mexico in January. So if anybody is looking to manifest their dreams, we're going to go through all aspects of creating the life you've always wanted. So it'll be a few days of really intense work, and I'm super excited about it.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. So that'll be in January of 2016.
That's correct.
Super. Well, Sheila, thank you so much for being my guest today. I so appreciate the information that you shared, and I'm sure that we'll get a lot of great information from this.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Donna.
You're welcome. Thank you.